Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. We're going to talk about transportation, among other things, in the area. Ian Ollis is here, the FAMPO administrator, the Fredericksburg Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, and the director of transportation. Ian, it is great to meet you. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on your show.
It is. You have been in the area for what, a few months now?
Yeah, I started work on the 1st of November last year, so it's quite recent, new to the area, loving Fredericksburg and the regional counties around the area. It's good to be here.
For people who don't know, because a lot of times we throw around GWRC and FAMPO and those kind of things. Talk about how that all fits into to what goes on in the region.
So FAMPO, as you said, is the Fredericksburg Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, and that covers the jurisdictions of Stafford County, Spotsylvania County, and Fredericksburg. And our job is really to look after transportation planning. In other words, building the future of transportation in that region. We also do some rural transportation work in King George County and Caroline County. So we provide services there as well. And it's quite exciting to be able to plan the future, because most people don't realize that the future can happen by accident as everybody mm-hmm. plays their part, or you can take a view of the future and plan a better future that you would like to have, which involves some compromises and changes and so on. But that's what we do. We look at the future and say, what should it look like in this area, transportation-wise, in the future? And what would we like to see? And then we get inputs from the community and from local politicians and so on to say, what would you like to see in the future? And then we go about trying to develop a plan to bring that about. So,
In transportation, as you know, is so huge around here. What drew you to this? Just the challenge of trying to figure this out?
To transportation or to FAMPO?
To transportation.
So, I mean, I've had a lifelong interest in transportation. My dad built steam locomotives in Africa for 50-some-odd years. So I'm quite used to, as a six-year-old child, climbing on steam trains. My brother's in transportation. My brother he was one of the four managers in Charleston of the Boeing plant that builds the 787 Dreamliner airplane, and now builds cars at Volvo in Charleston, South Carolina. So it's a transportation family, and yeah. I, in my previous job, in a previous life, was a politician in with a transportation portfolio. So I've worked on transportation projects, bus projects and train projects in South Africa, and I've done some transportation work in the U.S. On a policy level. So I've always been interested in transportation.
I think just the idea of having a fresh view, a fresh voice and fresh eyes to kind of look at the transportation issues around here, that's kind of exciting to think about that. Somebody from the outside who's got the background that you do to come in here and look at things.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. One of the good things about having me is that I don't come with any particular political pedigree or baggage in the U.S. context. So I'm not a member currently of any political party. I don't have the right to vote currently as a yeah. non-citizen. So I can look at it purely from a planner's more objective perspective and say, well, that looks good, but there's this other practical problem which planners will be able to tell you about. So I think I quite like that perspective, that I don't side with any particular viewpoint or flavor, but can try and look at the whole community and the needs of the community and the future and see how best to do it. So I'm quite excited about that. Obviously, I have to try and bring people together, and sometimes people have very diverse views.
Yeah.
And so I will try to use data, objective criteria, and a fresh eye to look at some of the problems and try and see what we could do to improve them.
That is so interesting that you say that, because over the years, I can think of many times from all the different localities of where we've had people in here talking about this project or that project. They sound good, but they don't get anywhere just because of the thoughts within a locality and those kind of things stop things. You coming in here as an outside person, I think would have an advantage.
I hope so. I mean, obviously, there's always compromise when people have very different views, and you've got to look at trying to bring them together. And so, part of my job will be, you know, trying to look at all the views, and then put some bit of logic and data and analysis into it to say, well, we could do all of these things. The best two are these two. How do you feel about that? And then try and get some buy-in to those particular views. And, you know, there are going to be times when I'll lose the battle and other people will get more of their view in the thing. But hopefully common sense will prevail and we can, you know, get some future planning done that really does the right thing.
So what also then drew you to the FAMPO job?
I think it was my interest in, first of all, being able to run my own shop. I lead the team of staff. We have about six planners and community facilitation people at FAMPO, and I lead that team, and I quite like that, being able to put a little bit of my own flavor on the operation. Also with family in South Carolina, I wanted to be a little further south. Boston is very far north and quite cold in winter. And so the environment of being down here attracted me, the ability to run at my own team. And also I think that this area is a very fast growing neighborhood in terms of the U.S.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, people speak often about the Northeast Corridor or, you know, the Mid-Atlantic or New England as being where transportation is big. But if you get on the I-95 and drive south on a Friday afternoon, you'll realize that transportation is big down here. And so I think it's high time that that so-called Northeast Corridor gets extended down through Virginia. Because you already have the traffic, you already have the freight trucks and the freight trains. You already have people trying to commute on this corridor. And so it's an exciting place to be, because I think there's big changes coming just because of the volume. There's so many people moving and goods that need to be moved. And I think that provides an opportunity to develop new projects in the area. So I think it's an exciting place to be at this time. Perhaps 10 years ago, there wouldn't have been as many big projects in the pipeline as there are now.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good time to be here.
Yeah, you just look at I-95 in this area or downtown Fredericksburg, and you just see these. There are projects galore. Well, it is great to have you here. This is exciting. We need to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I want to talk a little bit about your you have an interesting, as you look at your resume, your time in South Africa. You you did some things. We'll talk about that and jump into talking more about transportation in this area. Ian Ellis is here from the Fredericksburg Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
FAMPO Administrator Ian Ellis is here this morning as we talk transportation. And it's interesting, Ian, as you talk, since you've been here since November or so, I mean, do you just at times, do you drive around and see some of the spots that we all know about and get irritated with and look at things and just say, huh, wonder if we ought to look at this? Or, I mean, do you, I'm sure you look at things with a critical eye.
One of my staff, Matthew Lehane, took me on a trip through Spotsylvania to look at the Lafayette Boulevard corridor, which they did a study on. In fact, it's not complete. I think they're still working on it. We went to have a look at where the new VA hospital is going to be built and what the transportation issues are around there. I've been up to Stafford Another thing I'm going to do in the next week or two is to go out to the 301 corridor and the bridge north. There's some, you know, the bridge is being rebuilt and there's some practical problems there. So I'm going to go and have a look at that and see what exactly is going on. And it's good to actually look at it on the ground, because when somebody tells you there's a bridge and there's a access issues, you can't visualize it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go out there and going to have a look, see what the issues are.
That's interesting. With all the technology that we have and that you can do things with, and things that do help, sometimes just going and standing there and looking at how the traffic flow is or exactly. what the topography is like.
Yeah, exactly. It helps enormously. I took the in December, I took the VRE train into DC to see kind of how does that work
yeah.
and how do you connect through to the metro train system if you have to work in DC and you live in, you know, Spotsylvania or Fredericksburg or Stafford.
Yeah.
How does that trip work? And it's not a bad trip, I must say. It's the train top speed on the particular day I went, the train got to 71 miles an hour was the fastest speed it did. I measured it using my cell phone in the car. That's reasonable. I mean, I like it to go faster, but that's not terrible.
Yeah.
It has a lot of stops, so that's, you know, one of the downsides, but it's certainly a doable trip.
Well, the VRE and along, I mean, there's some rail upgrades coming and being talked about that I guess will change a lot of that too.
Yeah. So the I-95 upgrades are busy being done now to extend the hot lanes down through our region. But the big news is that the next big thing on our horizon is the upgrade of the train system. And we're going to see the stations upgraded. There's a plan to upgrade the Fredericksburg station, and the funds have already been allocated. So we don't have to go and get somebody mm-hmm. to provide the funding. It's already there. They're going to extend the station platforms to have longer trains that could come into Fredericksburg. And they're going to add a third track from D.C. So already the long bridge coming out of D.C. restricts the number of trains you can have, because there are only two tracks coming out of D.C. They're doubling that to four by building a new bridge, which is going to bring more capacity. More trains are able to move. So in about 2025-26, we're going to get another two VRE trains per day, another two Amtrak trains per day. And there are some other exciting possibilities around that. The Washington Partnership produced their rail vision document in December. They released it, and it talks about the possibility of linking the VRE trains with the MARC trains in Maryland. So that a MARC train could leave Baltimore in the morning and come all the way through to Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania, and a VRE train could go from here all the way through to Baltimore. And so Union Station wouldn't be the end point. It would be the middle point of these train trips, which would mean right outside our office in Fredericksburg, you'd see MARC trains arriving from Baltimore,
wow.
which is an exciting prospect. It can be done. It's practically feasible. They'll just have to, you know, the politics. They've got to get the Virginia and Maryland rail people and the D.C. Authorities to agree to the system. So it's an exciting new possibility. New stations, many more trains per day, connecting through to further destinations on a one-seat ride to Baltimore, which would be quite interesting. So lots of new things planned in the future.
But that's something that hasn't even been talked about a lot, but would be a great. There are a lot of people who make that trip, even a few times a week, and would help.
And also that they're going to work on speeding up the train, because of the upgrades, they'll be able to get a higher speed rating on the track. And then they can run faster trains through to that. So that's planned as well. But it takes time. I mean, this is a 10-year project. But thankfully, Congress, the House of Representatives, voted through the land transfer and the funds to build the Long Bridge out of D.C. They're waiting for the Senate to ratify that. But for the station upgrades, the money's already budgeted. It's already on the way. The state of Virginia has put funds into building that third track so that we have three tracks instead of two all the way through the Fampo region. It's already budgeted. The planning's done. And they're talking about the possibility, I haven't seen this in writing, but I hear that they're talking about the possibility of starting construction at the end of this year. So that's quite soon. In train terms, you're talking 10-year blocks, you know, so starting this year is quite soon.
Well, the Long Bridge has been talked about for years, and that's always been seen as really a game changer for VRE and in service for people who use VRE.
Absolutely, and you can have more frequent trains. You can also have reverse commuting, and which means you can live, say, in Alexandria and come and work in Stafford or Fredericksburg. And take the train the other way. Instead of all the VRE trains going north in the morning, you could have some coming south in the morning. So that's one possibility that they're looking at. And the other one is to have trains on the weekend. Surprisingly, the I-95 traffic is sometimes worse on a Saturday than it is on a Tuesday. So, you know, having trains on the weekend might boost the local economy because more people can come down to the area.
And because of that, I know a lot of people who used to come down on weekends, and you hear business owners talk about how you don't get that kind of traffic anymore, just because, like you say, on the weekends, 95 can just be on Saturdays and Sundays horrible.
Yeah, it's a big problem. When I arrived in the area, I drove down from Boston for my sins, and traveling the whole way down from Boston, the traffic was light until I got to Baltimore. From Baltimore to Fredericksburg, the traffic was appalling. Okay, it was a Friday afternoon. I'm assuming people are heading out of town for the weekend.
Yeah.
But the Friday afternoon traffic between Baltimore and Fredericksburg was just appalling. In the middle of COVID, you know, you would think, during COVID, it's plain sailing. Not at all. Between Baltimore and the Fampo region, there is a significant traffic congestion problem.
And economically, we hear it all the time talked about how if it hasn't already, and it likely has, it's going to hurt this area economically.
Absolutely. Highways are a funny thing. They greatly contribute to economic growth when they're built and they're in place. But they have a capacity. And when you reach that capacity, it stops further growth in a way because you just can't get any more vehicles on the highway.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing with highways is that it's a case of, to quote people like Walt Disney, build it and they will come. So you add another couple lanes, more people will come to drive in the lanes until it gets clogged again.
Right.
So you have this, every time you add a lane, you wait 2 years and then you're almost back to the congestion you had, but at a higher level with more cars. So it's a kind of cat and mouse game building highway lanes.
No, you look at everything that's being done right now in on 995, and you look at it and you just figure how long will this work? We've seen it at the Falmouth intersection. Yeah. Initially, when that changed, you got through in just a couple of minutes, and now we're almost back to the way it was before.
Exactly. And I mean, that's there's a debate in transportation planning circles as to why that happens. Is it that you induce new trips? In other words, people who didn't drive before can now drive that way because there's the opportunity.
Yep.
Or is it that there was pent-up demand? People have been wanting to do this because they needed to for work, and they just avoided the area because it was such a nightmare, and now they don't avoid it anymore. So we don't know if it's pent-up demand or if it's inducing new trips. But certainly, when you provide the lanes, people will come. And so you have to think about that when you're building the lanes. Do we actually want 12 lanes on the I-95 one day in the future, or don't we? And if we don't, well, what are the alternatives? And that's kind of what we do at Fampo, is we ask those questions. What do we want this to look like in the future?
Yeah.
Do we want 16 lanes on the I-95? Where do we want to stop? At some point, we're going to want to stop, wherever that is.
Yeah.
And then what is the alternative? How else do we move people and move freight and goods? And train lines are one option. Building another alternative route that's parallel roadways, that's another option. Trying to get people to use multiple people in one vehicle is another option because it cuts down on the number of vehicles on the road. So buses move a lot more people than a car does.
Yeah.
So they're all of those kind of considerations, and we have to weigh them up. How much of one, how much of the other? And that's what we're here to do, to play that game of asking, what does the community want? What's practical? How much money do we have? And how much of, how many lanes do we want to have on the highway? How many trains do we want to have? How many buses do we want to have? Do bicycles have a role? I mean, all of the different transportation yeah. options and modes, we try to consider those and say, well, this is what the future could look like, but we have to do these five things to bring that about. You know, so that's, that's the game.
Well, it's interesting as you, when you talk about the game, that it's, you know, you're on one hand dealing with I-95, that's the predominant and the big problem here, but also even when you're taking a look at Lafayette Boulevard or just some of the smaller areas, some of the smaller roads, you're looking at it all.
Yeah, and so part of our role is to facilitate federal and state funds being spent on local roads and local train systems. So that's what we do. We say, well, you know, what do we do on Lafayette Boulevard? Let's do a study. Let's come up with some proposals. Mm-hmm. And then that feeds into the funding process. You know, we get funds via VDOT and the DRPT for roads or trains or buses or whatever the case is. And those studies that we do are essential to getting us the funds to build those things. So the state takes it quite seriously if you've done a study and you can say, this is needed in this area and here's why, here's the study. They take that quite seriously and look at putting funds to those projects. So that's why the work we do isn't just theoretical. It leads to the funding, because the funding, federal funds and state funds, need to have some data behind them, some studies behind them, and that's what we do, is we help facilitate the gaining of funds for the local area to deal with the Lafayette Boulevards and the bad intersections and that kind of thing, because that's how the system works. We produce the studies, we apply for the funds, and it goes through that process.
Ian Ollis is here, the administrator, the FAMPO administrator, also the director of transportation planning. A lot of good stuff here as we talk transportation. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now coming up on 831.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Ian Ollis is here, the FAMPO administrator. We talk about transportation. Before we jump back into transportation, you mentioned earlier, and you still have some of the South African accent, but you spent a number of years in Parliament in South Africa.
Yeah, so I was elected to Parliament in South Africa in 2009 in a general election. To represent an area in Johannesburg, the biggest city in South Africa. And I was there for two terms, which in South Africa, your parliamentary terms are 5 years, unlike Congress in the U.S., where in the House of Representatives, you're only there for 2 years. In the South African Parliament, you have a five-year term. So I did two terms from 2009, and I resigned in 2018. So some years in politics, and before Parliament, I was in local government as a city councilman. Involved in transportation and planning, strangely enough, in the city of Johannesburg. So it follows me.
Well, in those areas, I mean, Johannesburg's a pretty big city, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of the population of Los Angeles, roughly, maybe a little less, but it's a very, very large city. It's the financial capital of South Africa.
So how does one go from South Africa to you mentioned you came from Boston. Was it schooling or how did you decide to come over here?
So I decided to do another degree in transportation planning, and I was accepted to study at MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So I moved in 2018 to Boston and studied at MIT among some of the most interesting people out there, and my degree was effectively a master's in city and regional planning, but I specialized in transportation, so took all the courses from the airline industry to how do you make a transit system work?
Yeah.
And all those kind of things. So two good years there, and then worked for a year in Boston. Sorry, not for a year. I worked following my MIT degree. I worked for some months at Transit Matters in Boston, which is a think tank and policy institute looking at all things transit, buses, trains, and so on. And did some policy work for them and also for the Pioneer Institute before that when I was a student. Going back to being a student when you're 48 is quite interesting, I have to tell you. Everybody sitting next to you in the class is 25.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting experience. But it was quite fun. I mean, I learned a bunch of new things. So I knew what GIS was, Geographic Information Systems,
yeah,
before going to MIT. I'd never made a map. So I can now say that I learned to make maps at MIT.
Wow, okay. Well, you do really have a background in transportation though, Ian. This is more than just a job for you.
Yeah, it's been a long-term interest and a passion. My dad built steam locomotives, steam trains in Africa for many years. My brother was part of the team that built the Dreamliner in Charleston, at the Boeing plant in Charleston,
yeah,
and is now at Volvo Cars building Volvo automobiles for the U.S. market. So that's a family interest, and it's a personal passion too. I've been interested in trains, planes, and automobiles for most of my life. So,
yeah.
So it follows that I could do something like this also in the U.S. It's an interest and a passion.
Well, again, it's great to have you here, and it is this is exciting with so many transportation things that this area is dealing with. Just to have you here to be able to look at them. You did mention a second ago about the Fredericksburg train station receiving some funding. Any idea when that might when some of that might be used and we might see some changes there?
So I don't have it in writing yet, and it depends on COVID, obviously.
Sure.
But they're looking at the end of this year, beginning of next year, to start construction on the train station. And the platforms are going to be lengthened so that you can take longer trains and it's easier for people to get on and off those trains if they're a bit longer. And there's some upgrades with parking and with access to the train station, and some of the other stations in the Frampo region are getting also upgrades. So we're looking at the end of this year, beginning of next year, as the starting point of construction. And that's quite soon. The funding, I'm told, is already allocated. So we don't have to go and beg and ask and, you know, go and pass the hat around to get the money to fix the train station. It's already done. It's in the budget. It's approved. And the plans have been drawn up. And so we're looking forward to the end of this year being the start. But perhaps it'll kick over into next year, first quarter of next year, depending on COVID. And, you know, we have a new administration in D.C., mm-hmm. so there may be some delays. I hope not. So I'd like to see the start of that. You know, come Christmas this year, we might be building on train stations in the Frampo region.
That's exciting, especially the downtown train station. It's historic and all, but it is crumbling, and so
absolutely, it'll be a nice upgrade. There'll be new facilities. There'll be greater provision for parking, so it'll be easier to park if you park and ride on the VRE further north. You know, just a facelift for the station. Longer platforms. They've already put in new information systems, those boards that tell you, you know, what train's coming and at mm-hmm. what time and all that. That's already completed. But it'd be nice to see the other upgrades and the greater parking and more facilities for trains.
Part of what you do, will you do anything like either go to the General Assembly in Richmond or up in D.C. as far as is lobbying? Or is that something that more of the localities do and you do more of the transportation planning?
So I don't personally get involved in political lobbying at that level, but we do provide the plans that gives the opportunity to the people who do the lobbying. Of course, quietly behind the scenes, I will have a coffee here or there with somebody to you know, try and convince them that this is a good idea, but it's not officially my job. My job is to oversee the planning and to support the policy committee of FAMPO, and to assist them with whatever information they need to make a good decision. That's what I need to do, and to assist them when they need research done in order to inform those decisions. And, you know, now and again, I might need to encourage someone to look in the right direction. But I'm not formally a lobbyist, so it's not my formal job description. It's something which I just quietly do to help smooth over some troubled waters and to encourage someone who hasn't thought of a particular option before to consider that option. So I will be doing a little of that just to help things along.
2050 seems like a long way away, but I know there's a long range planning is taking place right now, looking at what transportation will look like in this area then.
Absolutely. We are currently working on the long range transportation plan for 2050. And we've just completed a survey of public's views on transportation and what they would like to see more of in the future. And we'll be doing a second follow-up survey in the future to just gauge public opinion. What are the public really concerned about? We need to know that, because when we do planning, it's not just my view that's important. It's not just the planning staff of FAMPO's view that's important. It's not just politicians' views, which are important. It's also the public's view. And so we've been doing these surveys and inviting the public to give comment. And one of my staff, Stacey Feint, has been doing surveys. She stood at the bus terminus and actually asked people to contribute to the survey. And she's been doing online surveys and so on to get the public's opinion. Because we want to know in this long-range plan that we're doing, what do the public want? And then we can look at the views of the politicians and the board members of the FAMPO Policy Committee, the data and the research that we're doing to build the future. What does the future look like? What will 2050 look like? It's 30 years away. And that's the exciting part of this job, is that the future isn't certain. The future is something you can influence. And what transportation systems we will have in the future can be decided by us as the community. So let's do it right. Let's think through the options. Let's have the arguments now. And then we put it down on paper and say, this is what we'd like to see. And the authorities take note. When we put that long-range transportation plan together, we call for each of our jurisdictions, for Stafford and Spotsylvania and Fredericksburg, to put their ask list on the table. What projects do you need to improve the transportation system in your locality? And we put those into the long-range transportation plan so that when funding is allocated through other processes, the plan supports that. It tells you why we need this particular project, because it fits in with the overall plan. So it's an important document, the long-range transportation plan. And we're looking as far out as 2050, saying, what does FAMPO and the neighboring communities look like in 2050? Do we want more buses? Do we want a different kind of train service? Do we want weekend trains? Do we want reverse commuting? Do we want people in North Virginia to be able to come and work in Stafford, Fredericksburg, and Spotsylvania? And if we do, how are they going to get to those jobs? Are they going to come by train? Well, currently, there are very few trains that come south in the morning. There's only an Amtrak. The VRE trains don't. So the long-range transportation plan could make a case and say, well, we do need that if we do, if the community wants it, if the local politicians want it, if there's support for it. We could put that in the plan and say, we think this is a priority that should be considered, bringing trains down in the morning to allow people to commute down here for jobs. Weekend trains. The congestion on the I-95, as we were talking earlier, is significant on the weekends. You only think maybe on Tuesday morning in peak hour it's going to be high traffic. But you travel down here on a Friday afternoon or a Saturday morning from D.C. The traffic is appalling. And so we have to think about that and say, well, how do we sort that out? One of the things is to provide trains on the weekend to help people move down here for the weekend. That's something that we could consider. So we look at these things when we do the long-range transportation plan. And the other big question we look at is when the I-95's new lanes, the hot lanes, are also full to capacity, what do we do then? Because by 2050, they definitely will be full. So what is Plan B? Is Plan B to upgrade Route 1? Is Plan B to rely on trains? Mm-hmm. Is Plan B to build a new highway to D.C. or to Tyson's Corner or somewhere? What's the plan? And so that's what we're doing. the long-range transportation plan 2050 to ask those questions, to say, how are we going to solve this in the future? So that we don't just bumble along, you know, making things up as we go along. Oh, let's have another lane. Let's have another one of these because they're nice to have. Well, you need to put them together in a plan so that, you know, you spend the money wisely. You focus on the solutions that are workable. And that makes this job exciting.
Well, you mentioned Stacy in the survey. She has sent me a number of those surveys that we've put on our Facebook and social media pages, and those are great. Those are when she started sending me those. I mean, I put them out and included a line or two about, you know, this is your chance.
Yeah,
this is your chance to, you know, we all complain about things, but to actually talk to somebody or put down something, and, you know, somebody that can do something can see it.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and we appreciate that that information channel that you guys are to be able to give the public the opportunity to participate. And we're going to do more of those. We're going to have more opportunities for the public to give their views, to do surveys. This last survey, Stacey received about 400 written comments from the public on the long-range transportation plan, and she's got to sit now for days and days and days sorting those, putting them into categories. Is this about trains or buses or cars? Is this about bikes? Is this about sidewalks that need improvement? And she's got to, you know, do the study, the data analysis, and it's quite a job. But we're doing it because it you know, tells us what exactly the public think about this whole system.
Ian Ellis is here, the administrator for the Fredericksburg Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. Take a quick break, and we'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Ian Ellis here, the administrator for the Fredericksburg Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. Ian, this is great stuff. I hope in the future that we can do this frequently and talk about, just because these are just everyday kind of issues that we all deal with. We all sit at lights at different places, or you're on certain roads and you just think, why is it like this? Does anybody know this exists? And that's a lot of the things. That we've talked about. FAMPO also involved, I guess, with helping get funding for things like the area localities that have the walking trails, things like that.
So bike and pedestrian trails are something that we do as well, and we do studies. We have Carrie and Matthew put out measuring equipment on the bike trails and so on to count how many people cycle, for example. And we use that data to show that these trails are worth it and that they actually add value and that a lot of people are using them or not. And those studies we do as well. And that also supports our applications for funding. When communities, when Spotsylvania wants a bike path or they want a pedestrian trail, we facilitate the studies that support that application so that we can get funding. And there's, again, federal, state, and local funding that goes into trails of all different kinds. And that's part of our job, is to assist localities with their applications to get funding to build a bike path, to build a pedestrian trail. And there are a number of very successful ones in the area with a lot of people riding them. And we have a committee at FAMPO, that committee is the bike and pedestrian crowd that come along and say, this is what we think, this is what we think the needs are, this is what we think the problem areas are, and we listen carefully to what the people have to say. We also have a citizens transportation advisory committee where ordinary members of the public can go along and say, hey, I have an opinion, here's what I think. And so these kind of committees do investigate bike paths, pedestrian paths, and what the community has to say about transportation generally. But we help apply for funding so that people can get funding for each of these projects, federal funding, state funding, and local funding.
guess the other thing is we look about with transportation and talk about what needs to be done. And another area I would I guess that you're involved is just the infrastructure, the keeping up. And there are a lot of old roads around here too, and a lot of old systems. And
absolutely,
that would be, I guess, another one of the many areas that it looks like FAMPO is involved with.
Yeah, so obviously FAMPO doesn't do construction. We don't do maintenance. We do planning.
Yeah.
But we do facilitate the funding for that. And the Virginia Department of Transportation is responsible for building and upgrading roads in Stafford and in Spotsylvania. And so we are part of the vehicle that it sits between those counties and the state in terms of problem intersections, for example. So we're often involved in a study of a particular intersection that's mm-hmm. causing gray hairs to everybody. And we have to try and encourage them to look at the future, not just right now. Because right now you can see the problem with your eyes. You just sit on the corner and watch. But what is this going to look like in 10 years from now? So we try to get people to think, this is what this problem is going to look like in the future, so that we don't only build for now, we build for tomorrow. And that's how we kind of add value to that. We assist with the studies. We provide links to the funding partners who provide the funding to do that work. And we try to think of the future so that we don't build ourselves into a corner, because that's one thing you can mm-hmm. do is you can build and build and build, and then you turn around and say, wow, we spent all this money and now we've got this and we don't like it. And so that's the our job is to try and anticipate that. What is it that people are not going to like in the future? What does that look like? And then let's try and avoid that.
Well, it's great to have you here, because you kind of put a face to a lot of great work that gets done. A lot of times we hear in on this show, and even talking with local elected officials, people talk about FAMPO this and FAMPO that, and it's just this, what is it? And so you put a face to it. Linda Millsaps does the same when she comes in with the George Washington Regional Commission, and there's
absolutely
great work done between the two of you. And really, FAMPO is really, as you've talked about today, just really helping out localities.
Yeah, so it's made up of FAMPO's policy committee, similar to the board of the GWRC, is made up of politicians and elected officials and one or two appointed officials. So it's members of the County Board of Supervisors in Stafford, members of the County Board of Supervisors in Spotsylvania, and city councillors and senior officials from the city of Fredericksburg that make up the policy committee, and they are the decision-making body. So the chairperson and the board make decisions about the work that we do. So we present them with the stuff, and then they make the decisions. And the same at the GWRC. Linda Millsaps is the executive director of the team, and they have a board that makes decisions, and those decisions frequently affect the funding on projects. At FAMPO, we only do transportation, whereas the GWRC does other things like housing the homeless, economic development, and things like that, which are not part of our wheelhouse.
We're out of time. Ian Aulis, thank you so much. We will talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
That's it. We'll see you in the morning.
1230 WFVA.